While we were doing research on the previous segment on Laos, we came upon an article about how Laos has recently agreed to join the International Whaling Commission at Japan's request, and that it's likely to support Japan's pro-whaling campaign. That despite the fact that Laos is a landlocked nation with no history of whaling. Observers are concerned that Japan may be bribing poorer countries with aid in exchange for their votes in the upcoming IWC meeting in Alaska. Joining me now for the second part of today's Underreported is Joel Reynolds, a marine mammal expert with the Natural Resources Defense Coalition, who closely follows the whaling industry. Welcome to our show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Aren't most people under the impression that the whaling industry is dead? After all, whale oil, whale bones, whale meat, they're not exactly available these days in any markets.
I think that's right. I think, generally speaking, the public views the moratorium on commercial whaling to be one of the great successes of the 20th century in terms of environmental protection. I think, tragically, the truth, however, is that commercial whaling is alive and well and continues to be one of the major threats to whales and the biodiversity of our oceans.
So what happened with the moratorium? It was put into place how many years ago?
1986 is when it became effective.
And it had a couple of loopholes. Is that why whaling still continues?
The biggest problem is a loophole that allows so-called scientific research. This is a loophole that Japan in particular has exploited extensively over the last 18 years or so. And as a result, some 30,000 or so whales have been killed since the moratorium took effect.
Now, why do you have to kill whales to engage in this scientific research? What are they claiming they're researching?
They have a theory that goes something like this. Whales eat fish. Fish are depleted. We depend on fish for our survival. Therefore, we need to research. We do more research on whales, and it has to be lethal research because we have to examine what they're eating.
And we don't know by now. I would have thought that Herman Melville knew exactly what they ate.
Well, I think you're right. And the fact is, all reputable whale scientists in the world have concluded that this so-called scientific whaling by the Japanese is a fraud. It's basically a pretext for commercial whaling. The whales that are killed as part of that program end up in the marketplace, there's been really no legitimate product to come out of this research program since its inception.
Now, Japan is not the only country that wants to take advantage of this. Isn't that true? There's a Scandinavian country that also supports whaling?
Norway and Iceland have both taken advantage of this loophole as well. They are in something of a different category because they also engage in commercial whaling itself. And Norway took what's called a reservation to the moratorium when it was enacted. Iceland rejoined the IWC in 2002, and also took a reservation. So they have taken whales under the scientific research loophole, but they also commercially hunt whales.
So what's going on with this Laotian thing with Japan? Why do you think Laos seems to have signed up for Japan's pro-whaling position?
There are something like 70 countries who are members of the International Whaling Commission, which, by the way, is holding its annual meeting next week in Anchorage, Alaska. Last year, for the first time, Japan was able to obtain a majority of members to support a resolution that concluded that the moratorium on commercial whaling was outdated and unnecessary. The reason that it was able to obtain a majority is because it has systematically, over the last 10 years, undertaken a program to entice small nations from around the world to join the International Whaling Commission without regard to whether or not these countries have historically any interest in whaling or whales whatsoever.
Or a coastline in the case of Laos.
That's true. There are a number of landlocked countries who have been enticed to join, and the way that they're enticed to join is through overseas development aid. essentially foreign aid. Now, in the case of Laos, which is the most recent example, virtually simultaneous with Laos's decision to join the IWC, Japan announced that it was giving the country $1 million to for work to uncover unexploded bombs. So that's one example. Another example historically has been fisheries processing plants for Caribbean countries that don't really have any whaling history either. There are many examples of this. The result has been that the International Whaling Commission has been joined by a lot of countries who vote uniformly with Japan to oppose any kind of conservation or control of whaling. And there's a significant concern, a growing concern, that this majority will continue to grow and undermine and really debilitate the entire convention.
Are they interested in certain kinds of whales and not others?
Historically, the Japanese have hunted minke whales, but they announced last year that they were going to expand their scientific research program to include endangered finback whales, one of the largest animals ever to inhabit the planet,
and do they
as
want
well
to...
as endangered humpback whales.
And in each case, they're saying that these whales may very well be destroying the ecology of the oceans by eating certain fish?
Well, that's one of the theories. Basically, what they allege is that they need to take these whales for purposes of scientific research, whatever that might be.
But whales eat krill, don't they?
They eat a lot of things. So in the case of finbacks and humpbacks, the research program will have some other purpose. But I think fundamentally the problem is the same. It's really not legitimate research at all.
And you say that it looks like Japan is going to succeed in this case at the IWC meeting because it has enlisted countries like Laos.
That's too early to call, actually. Japan is not the only country who is who's undertaken a recruitment effort. In response to Japan's success last year at the meetings in St. Kitts, where they actually they obtained a majority for the first time in 20 years on an anti-conservation measure. The UK undertook a recruitment program of its own. Environmental groups have also tried to encourage countries to join. And there have been a number of new countries that have decided to join this year that are anti-whaling and may actually enable the conservation countries to take back the majority. And these include Slovenia, Croatia, Greece, Colombia, just I learned today, has decided to join the IWC. And these are countries that have committed themselves to a pro-conservation agenda that is really what the IWC has been about and should be about. That's conserving whale populations rather than regulating hunting.
But there are other threats to whales. Climate change is obviously a threat. Habitat destruction, underwater noise seems to be a big problem. And we're learning more and more about how that affects whales because I guess it interferes with their communication. So do you have much hope for the future of whales?
Well, I think your point is really an important one. You know, you don't take these threats in isolation. Commercial whaling is one very significant threat to our oceans, but it's part of a series of threats that are contributing to the decline of our oceans on a massive scale. Ocean noise is one, and I'm happy to talk a little bit about that because people don't know too much about it. But habitat destruction, ship strikes, and fishing gear entanglement, and of course global warming, which threatens to affect the food supply for anything from blue whales, which are the largest animals in the history of the world, to much smaller species. And you've got to consider these threats together because collectively they have a much more potent effect than they do individually.
Joe, can we have you back sometime to talk about this? Because we've run out of time for this segment.
I'm absolutely happy to come back and talk whenever you do have time.
And my great thanks to Joel Reynolds, who is a marine mammal expert at the Natural Resources Defense Commission, which closely follows the whaling industry. Thank you so much for being on Underreported today.
Thank you, Leonard. It's a pleasure.